The Swedish automaker Volvo made headlines last year twice. The car company, already known for its safety, stepped up its game by asserting that no one riding in their cars made after 2020 will die in a crash. The company also announced that starting in 2020, all their cars will either be powered by all-electric or hybrid engines.
And those efforts were on display at the recent Chicago Auto Show, where contributor Dan Harmon caught up with Volvo USA spokesman Russell Datz, who talked first about Volvo's safety goals called Vision 2020.
About 10 years ago, we set out a path for ourselves to try and achieve that nobody would be killed or seriously injured in a new Volvo car by the year 2020.
So that means that from 2020 on, a 2020 model on, that's where the claim applies.
That's where we're headed, yeah. Now, it's important to note that it's a vision of ours. We've not said that for sure nobody would die or be seriously injured in our cars, but that's a direction that we want to go. And in order to achieve that, you've got to develop technologies to make that happen. Through studies, and it's common knowledge in the industry anyway, that more than 90% of all car collisions are caused by human error. So we're looking at ways to assist drivers and kind of take some of those decisions out of their hands to avoid accidents or collisions, I should say, in Volvo cars.
Is this a combination of driver aids, which I'm going to say those are electronic aids or technological aids? How much of that is also the cars themselves, the structure, the rigidity of frames, and even things kind of old-fashioned now is airbags? So what's the kind of combination that gets you to that place?
Well, our belief is that the best way to not be injured or killed in a car accident or collision is to not be in one at all. So we're moving the first line of defense from those things that you just mentioned, like body rigidity and airbags and seatbelts. You know, Volvo was the inventor of the three-point seatbelt back in the 1950s, which were designed to keep people from being killed or injured, but not helping them avoid the accident in the first place. So now we're moving to avoiding collisions with driver aids like lane keep assist to keep you from drifting from one lane to another, adaptive cruise control, which keeps a safe distance between you and a car in front, automatic emergency braking, which will apply the brakes to avoid or mitigate a collision if you don't take action, and so on and so forth. So our idea is to avoid the collision in the first place so that all those other things like body rigidity, airbags, seatbelts become a safety net.
I'm not, hopefully this isn't too nitpicky, but accident avoidance, of course, who would not be for that? I'm wondering, how do you avoid an accident where you're going legally through an intersection in a green light and you're T-boned, or a semi doesn't see you, and, you know, some of these horrific accidents, yeah, scenarios I'm thinking, you know, people die that way as well, of course, and I'm sure Volvo knows the stats better than I do, but I'm wondering, maybe that's more of the strength of the car itself rather than an avoidance aid.
Yeah, there are certain collisions where you would never, no technology would be able to avoid, just like the one you gave, for example. If the timing is just right and another car runs a red light and into you, there's not much you can do about it. But for the ones that can be avoided, running off the road, for example, many collisions or incidents occur when drivers fall asleep or are inattentive and go off the shoulder of a road. So we've built in some systems to help protect from injury in those cases. We also have some technologies called runoff road protection, where the car will actually attempt to bring the car or keep the car on the road if the driver doesn't take action. So it's a combination of the two systems.
And much of what we are talking about is autonomous driving. We're not quite there yet. At least like Tesla, for example, has made the claim, you know, of the driverless car. Others are working on it. Google's working on it, etc. So maybe you can help us along with that. What is the fine line, if you will, between driver aids and going just driverless? So where is Volvo on that?
We believe that drivers should have the option of either driving themselves or delegating the driving to the car. So as of now, our plan is to always have steering wheels and pedals in our vehicles. We know that some other organizations are looking at vehicles that don't have these systems in them, which really leaves the drivers or operators with no option. It's just a pod. And that's not what we're about. Volvo believes that driving can be a very enjoyable experience. You know, you drive when you want to, say on local roads or twisty roads where you want to have some fun, or maybe you're looking for an address, and then delegate the driving to the car in the more mundane portions of driving, like stop-and-go traffic or heavy rush hour traffic, where, you know, you're kind of creeping along and start, stop, start, stop, start, stop. Imagine if you just press a button and the car did all that for you and you could read a book. And then when you get off that road, you then retake control of the car and drive your vehicle to the last mile of your destination, whatever it might be. Or another example might be on a long road trip. If you're driving on an interstate, cross country, across the state, whatever it might be, press a button and the car will do most or all of the driving for you. At this point, we're at level 2 autonomy in our cars. We call it pilot assist, and the assist in there is specific. The car will follow the road. It will keep a distance to the car in front. It will steer, it will brake, but you have to keep a hand on the steering wheel to take control in an emergency, to take evasive action. Ultimately, we want to get to a point where the car will be able to take evasive action, but we're not quite there yet. There are some outfits who are saying they have level 3 autonomy, which is where the driver still needs to re-engage with the vehicle to take evasive action, but we don't believe that that's safe. So we're going to skip over 3, and we're going to go straight to 4, which is level 4 autonomy, which is where the car can actually take evasive action on its own.
And then at what point will or is Volvo going to have cars that, for example, you will punch in your address into navigation and it will drive for you in the city? That's, you know, the claim of other manufacturers, technology companies as well. Is that in the works? Is that a goal as well?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's where we're headed. But we want to make sure that we're very deliberate about how we develop and roll out the technology. We want to make sure that people get familiar with that technology and understand it and can use it. And we want to make sure that it's safe. You know, Volvo puts the safety of its customers before anything. And we're not going to roll out a technology just to be first to market with it. We're going to roll it out in our time when it's been vetted and researched so that customers, when they get in a Volvo car, can feel confident that when they do press that button, it's going to work all the time, every time.
I just, you know, speaking of technology, I want to talk also about Volvo's direction of going either completely electric or hybrid. Where is Volvo at with that right now?
We are on our way. We announced last year that by 2019, every Volvo car would be electrified, meaning it has some sort of electric motor in it, and the days of the standalone gasoline engine are gone for Volvo. So that whether that means a mild hybrid, a plug-in hybrid, which is what we have now in our XC90 T8 or our XC60 T8 or S90 T8, or full electric. So several vehicles to be launched, I think 5 all-electric vehicles by 2025.
And is Volvo currently either working on it by itself, battery technology, or working with another company to either produce its own batteries or have the batteries that will allow a substantial or sufficient range? What's the goal of range as well?
Yeah, we're working with partners on battery technology. Our pure electric cars will have significant range. We're not announcing exactly what those are just yet, but the current vehicles that we have on the market, the plug-in hybrids, have all electric ranges of about 14-15 miles. That's only electric. The total range is more like 300 miles. But you're talking about a vehicle like the XC90, for example, which is the world's first plug-in hybrid, 7-passenger plug-in hybrid electric vehicle that is a full-size SUV, but it gets it's rated by the EPA as having better fuel mileage than most cars on the market.
Is there, would you call it a hurdle to getting to this point where it's either all electric or hybrid, or is there a technological or technology hurdle to overcome, or is this just a matter of cycling it into vehicles? And part 2 of that question, I guess, is just in conversations with automotive engineers, like, does it provide more of a challenge to change current models into that mode of electric or hybrid, or do cars have to be designed from scratch to accommodate that, either making them of lighter materials or different tire machinations or anything else?
Well, the ideal way to do it is to design a car from scratch that can be electric in some way. And we've done that with all of our new cars coming out since 2015. So the XC90 was the first one. It was designed from the ground up to be both hybrid and gasoline. So the battery actually stores nice and neatly in the center console down the middle of the car. It was always designed to do that, which put us at a distinct advantage over other vehicles that were trying to be, that some other manufacturers were trying to retrofit into an electric or hybrid vehicle. Then you run into all kinds of packaging issues and safety and cost. So all of our new cars are being designed from the ground up to be electrified. And that's a big deal.
Do you see any issues with consumer adaptation going this direction, or do you think Volvo buyers are pretty on board with this direction?
We're seeing strong interest in the plug-in hybrids. Not only are they great economically, but because they had come with a premium price, there are some other added benefits of the vehicles as well. They're a bit more luxurious. You have more power. All of our plug-in hybrids have the most power, the most powerful vehicle, and the most efficient in our lineup. So it's not just about getting the most for your gas money or your energy money, let's call it. It's about having something special and exciting to drive.
And maybe it's just the vehicles that I see here on display. Are the days of the kind of basic wagon gone, or just the Volvo sedan? I mean, there's one sedan on display here, and that's a pretty large car.
Yeah, the sedan you're referring to is the S90, and the wagons that we have are all V90s. V is for versatile. We have two on the stand right now, our V90 R Design and the V90 Cross Country Ocean Race. Two very exclusive, like, it's kind of a subculture almost. You know, wagons are already a cult following, and these are trim levels that are even more niche than that. So they're definitely sought out by those who really want wagons. But, you know, we see trends in the marketplace that are clearly moving toward SUVs. That's what people in the U.S. want. And we're delivering that with our new XC40 luxury compact SUV.
Just a final question, I guess I'm asking you to kind of just give your impression of the overall market. Do you think that, Volvo's ahead in many ways, always has been, especially with safety. Where do you see other manufacturers in the market? Some of them I don't think have any hybrid or electric. There's not very many, most do, but do you think that others will play catch up, or do you think you're just capturing a niche in the market?
No, I think the industry is clearly moving toward electrification. It's something that has to be done on many levels. Electric cars are much more efficient. They can be much more powerful. They can be more pleasant to drive in some cases, you know. But the truth of the matter is we have to do something for the greater good. And we consume an awful lot of gasoline and oil every day in the United States and around the world. And if we can reduce that, it not only reduces energy use, but it reduces emissions, and it gives customers a better driving experience.
Russell Datz, thank you very much for giving us your time.
Thank you.
Russell Datz is National Media Relations Manager for Volvo USA. He spoke with Lake Effect contributor Dan Harmon on site at the recent Chicago Auto Show.